You are listening to TRC Unleashed.
Here's Christie.
Good direction.
Sanders drifting back, has it at the 30-yard line. And a fumble, ball's out. Scramble, who got it?
Florida.
Florida got it. Demir Bird is the deep man. And a kick from Sturgis. Bird 2 yards into the end zone.
Players are going to have to adjust. It's on the field again.
Patton picked up. In for the touchdown.
No, his knee was down, Vern.
And now second down and goal. Play action. Driscoll deep in the end zone. Jordan Reed, touchdown, Florida.
And your day is long. And the night is yours alone. And you're sure you've had enough.
All right, a very depressing afternoon and evening yesterday from Gainesville, Florida. Welcome, Gamecock Nation. This is TRC Unleashed, episode number 34. I am your host, Buck, coming to you from North Atlanta. I am joined by T-Bone, who is in enemy territory right down the street from Dabo in Pickens, South Carolina, and the G-Man from right in the heartland, Columbia, South Carolina. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good to be here.
I think this is the first time we've ever podcast after back-to-back losses. I can't, because we started doing this last year, and we didn't have back-to-back losses last year. So this is we're in a downward spiral on the podcasting right now. So
it's a good thing that we didn't podcast between the years of 1902 and 2009, because we would have done this all the time.
Or even 1998-99 would have been really tough to recover from. But anyway, all right, you guys know, and I've some of our listeners or readers probably know, I coach a little football, so I had a game yesterday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I DVR'd the game, and I tried to stay away from anybody or anything that would give me an indication of how the game was going. And I just happened to hear one of the guys doing the chains on our sideline. I heard him turn around to a lady who does photography for us on our side, and she's a South Carolina graduate, and he goes, "It's 21-3," and he shook his head, and she goes, "Oh, no." And I was like, "All right, pressure's off." So I came home from my game. I kind of fast forwarded through the first half, watched plays here and there, and then when Florida went up 30-8, I pretty much stopped watching. So I can't give you a whole lot of analysis. So G-Man, tell me what is wrong. Give me your in-depth analysis, really deep. I mean, go deep. What is wrong with this team?
Turnovers.
All right, thanks. T-Bone, what?
It's a little more than that.
You go on the road in the SEC against a top five team who is like the team we played last week, loaded with talent, loaded with athletes. Yes, they haven't gotten it together for the last few years, but they're loaded with talent. There's no mistaking this. You put the ball on the ground three times, two times inside your five, once inside your 20 or 30, wherever it was on the ace fumble. You're going to lose the football game. You're going to abandon the run. These things are absolutely unavoidable. You're not, I mean, we can sit here all we want and say, what's wrong with the offense? What's wrong with Connor? What's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? Well, we were in the football game. It was 7-3. We had a chance to go 7-6 until we, the special teams had gaff number one, which was the blocked field goal. We had a chance to intercept the ball.
That was gaff number two.
Was it? Yeah, you're right. Gaff number one was Ellington on the first play of the game.
Exactly.
But we could have been in the ball game. We were in the ball game. As bad as we looked, we were in the ball game. And then you have a fumble on the punt return, followed immediately by a fumble on the kickoff return. The game is over at that point. Over. So we can sit here all we want and talk about, oh, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong. That's what's wrong. You get down to a good football team on the road by turning the ball over, you're not going to win. You're going to have to throw it, which we obviously can't do effectively. We're a running football team. We're a opportunistic passing team. When we're running the ball well, you're going to lose. I think we're going to have debate ad nauseum, maybe on this podcast, but throughout the week about what's wrong with the football team. Well, they're not a great offensive team. We know that, but you can't win playing the way we play, dropping the football. End of story.
All right. You know, I'll take it kind of one more step, because I think, you know, you're right. Of course you're right. You're going to go play, you know, even if you're going to play a top 25 team on the road, maybe even in your own house, and you turn the ball over three times like we did, bam, 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 like that, it's going to be hard to win. But I think we could have done that and still won that game if Connor Shaw had been kind of in the zone. But we had the turnovers and we had Connor off.
Disagree.
You know, well, just to look at it, you know, step back and kind of look at it a little more than just the turnovers. I think that, you know, you could tell Connor wasn't comfortable. Connor wasn't seeing it. I mean, that's the reason he got pulled. But I think either of those things, we still could have won. You know, you got to remember there was a point when, I'm trying to remember who it was. This is a Carolina game that I have not even watched a clip on the news of since it ended, which is rare for me. But we had a very similar situation to the pick that 15 had last week. It was a 7-3 game. They threw the same little pass over to the flat, and our guy was on it. It may have been 27.
Victor Hampton's inside the 10. He missed the ball.
Yep. It you know, you still got the three turnovers. If he catches that ball, you know, we got a chance.
Yeah, I mean, the only chance you got when you turn the ball over that much is if they give it back to you.
Exactly.
You know, which they obviously didn't do.
Connor was not on. Take the turnovers out of it.
But listen, Connor was in a have-to-pass situation early in that ball game, okay, because we weren't running the ball. If Connor has to pass first, if that's where he has to be, then he's not going to be successful. He's not. Yeah. We've said many times he's not Joe Montana. This guy is a runner first, passer second. That's who he is. We know that's who he is. If you put him in a situation where he's got to sling it 35 times over the middle, out patterns, whatever, we're not going to be successful.
Well, and you know, to the contrary point there is, granted, this team's not as good as Florida's defense. But Missouri had a similar game plan. Their idea was, we are going to sell out, stop the run. And Connor threw the ball 21 times, and 20 of them were completed.
Missouri is not close to the quality of team Florida is, and we didn't have to throw it. We threw it when we wanted to throw it, and we were at home.
Well, this is getting good.
I'm just saying there's a multitude of factors. The fumbles do not make it easy. I agree.
I don't think he played a perfect ball game, but, I mean, Florida is damn good on defense. I mean, their personnel – I mean, I come back to this, but you look at the recruiting the last 5-6 years, they're always on top five. They're loaded. They're stacked, okay? I mean, and, you know, you're just not going to walk in there and, you know, roll the balls out and be successful on offense against that team. You've got to – mix it up. You've got to run the ball. You've got to second passes. You know,
yeah,
that kind
it of is a tough team to get behind on. I don't think Florida is a great team.
Me either.
I think they're a good team, but they're a particularly tough team to come back on. And the reason I think they are is because they've got some guys on the perimeter. I mean, you didn't see – Vernon Gary even talked about this. Who was open? You know, there wasn't a lot of open guys out there to hit.
Well, there never are. That's the thing, and we don't have a view of the field, you know, like the coaches do. But Connor drops back and he looks around, and we typically say he takes off to run too, you know, he takes off too fast. And Spurrier said that he doesn't go through his progressions or doesn't see parts of the field or something like that. So it's hard to tell what the problem was yesterday. Honestly, you might be right. There might have been nobody open.
Well, I think if Connor has a weakness,
it's football.
I think that he lets the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Yeah.
You know, he said as much in the post game. He said, you know, sometimes I just need to throw it up and let stuff happen. I think he's always looking for that guy that's perfectly open, and you know, he pulls it down and runs it. last couple of weeks when he tries to pull it down and run it, there's a guy faster than him waiting on him.
This is kind of what I'm afraid. This is kind of why I let off by saying we turned the ball over three times and we lost. I mean, we can sit here and analyze, does Connor pull it down too quickly? Is Connor seeing the field? Whatever. If we don't turn the ball over three times, we may win the football game. Connor still may have played somewhere around how he played, and we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Well, I don't think
That's the point I was trying to make. Again, we end up agreeing because if I'm saying it takes both of those things to happen for us to lose.
We don't
turn the ball over and Connor plays, you know, so-so. I think we can still beat them with our defense.
I agree with you.
I don't think the analyzing of Connor's game really has much to do with the game yesterday. I mean, you're right. You turn the ball over that much, you make those many mistakes, more than likely you're going to lose. I think the conversation that's going to be had this week all over the internet, and Spurrier got it kicked off today in his press conference when he said Connor is probably going to start next week. He didn't say definitively, Connor is our guy. You know, I took him out yesterday because he was having a bad game, but he is our guy. He's probably going to start next week. So everybody's going to take that and run with it. We're not
Spurrier being Spurrier.
Well, and that's going to cause
Dylan played, and I don't know what you're looking for there.
That's going to cause Gamecock fans to be Gamecock fans because Spurrier's being Spurrier, and because most people don't get Spurrier being Spurrier. But Connor's the guy. Connor's got to be the guy.
Absolutely.
Because Dylan Thompson, even when Dylan Thompson had his 300-yard game and everybody, you know, people were starting to edge over to that, well, maybe we should go with Dylan Thompson. I think we saw what a Dylan Thompson offense will look like against a quality defense like Florida yesterday. He looked like a cigar store Indian back there, and he's just a wild man when he throws the ball. He had a couple of nice throws there that I saw. Again, I didn't watch very much of the second half. I watched like five plays, but four of them were sacks. So the Connor Shaw thing, you know, we just got to go with him.
Yeah, absolutely. He's your quarterback. Yeah. There's no question. There should be no controversy. And I think Spurrier knows that. I think Spurrier is a little bit frustrated. You know, he has every right to be. And quarterbacks is what he does. That's what, you know, what he deals with. I think we have our quarterback. We know who he is. But he has his limitations, is what I was trying to say at the beginning. I mean, he's not going to go out there and win the game with his arm like Aaron Murray had to do yesterday for Georgia. He's just not going to do that.
Yeah. Well, what did happen, T-Bone, what did the defense look like in the second half? Because in the first half, when I got home and I knew we were down 21-3, or at least I was 95% sure we were down at one point 21-3, and I saw the way our defense was playing, I was like, how? I mean, Clowney was in the backfield on every play. We seemed to be just – the defense was playing great. And at one point, Florida had 29 yards and 21 points. So did the defense falter in the second half since I didn't watch it?
You know, the defense was on the field, you know, a lot in the second half because we were going three and out so much. But also, you know, there's an emotional aspect to this game. There was one moment in the game, and I'm actually – betraying early my rubber chicken award winner here, but there was a moment in the game where Florida had gotten a first down that had pushed them into about the 10-yard line, and the camera goes tight on number 54, and Shaq, you see him look up at the clock, and you see him do the mental, you know, do the math and realize there's no way. Like, that moment was captured, and there was a lack of emotion in that fourth quarter from our defense. I was still proud of him. I mean, 27, I thought, played his heart out.
Yeah.
And 54, there was a moment early in the game where he goes up to Quinn Smith and pats Quinn Smith on the rear end and says, you see him point at the quarterback, says, go. And Smith ran in directly and got a sack.
Yeah.
So, you know, that I was not impressed with the Florida offense. It seems to me fairly straightforward. But our guys in the second half, once it became clear we weren't going to win, they probably didn't have the intensity. I think Gary and Vern talked about that a little bit.
I think there's no question that was part of it. I think they were demoralized. They had done their part in the first half, only to be down by 15 points at halftime. They had played outstanding football. And the offense, I mean, we're not built to come back against Florida. I mean, you know, we're just not, and that's a tough team to come back against anyway. I think they knew it was over, and Florida started executing better. You got to give Florida a little bit of credit. They did start executing better, and they do have some interesting running plays that they put out there. But, you know, that's I agree with you there.
So back to the turnovers, to Ace's turnover and Demir Bird's turnover. One of the Florida players said that they noticed on film that a lot of our guys carry the ball pretty loosely. And Ace was one of them, and Demir Bird. And I haven't noticed Ace, and Demir Bird hasn't had a lot of open field opportunities, but he swings that ball out there. And I just wonder what our coaches are doing, because our coaches have to see that. And they have to be teaching guys, especially kick returners, when you got 11 guys coming after one guy, you have got to pin that ball to your rib cage and not, you know, when you're making a move, if that hampers you from making the best move you can make, that's the price you got to pay to keep that ball tight to your body.
Well, you stumbled into the analysis that G-Man is dying to give right now.
I'm ready.
Talked about, you ready? You ready? I will give no more preface, Mr. G-Man. Please proceed.
You know, I don't know how else to say. The special teams play is absolutely atrocious. I mean, Ace Sanders, notwithstanding his couple of punt returns, have been very exciting. I mean, thank goodness for him. And thank goodness we actually kicked a couple field goals yesterday. But other than that, it is horrible. Our punting game, I mean, I wonder what the difference in punting average was between our punter and theirs. 20 yards a punt? The coming out of the end zone with these kickoffs, who do we think we are? You know, Desmond Howard or, you know, Rocket Ishmael? I mean, why are you not downing the ball and taking it on the 25-yard line when you're catching it 5 yards deep against Florida? Florida has – they emphasize special teams. They put emphasis on that. They always have. They put their best athletes over there. The special teams play was – I mean, two block field goals now in the year, right? Two block field goals. Fumbles on these returns. Coming out of the end zone.
Can't cover anybody.
They ran another kick back to the – can't cover a kick. I mean, it's just – play after play after play. I mean, it's embarrassing the lack of special teams play. I mean, it's by far a something that's plagued our team now for years and years and years. And you know, I can't figure out why it cannot be, you know, be better. I mean, I'm not saying make it great, just make it better. I believe that special teams lost this football game. We could have recovered from the Connor fumble. And we did sort of recover from the Connor fumble.
Oh, so now it's not just the fumbles.
Well, I mean, one fumble you might could have recovered from.
Right.
You know? It was the fumbles, but one you might could have recovered from. But three, no. Special
teams. Starting in the hole as much as we did. And, you know, our guy's punting it. He's punting it 30 yards, you know. Okay. You're right.
Why was the guy going back as far? Because you would see him racing forward to catch it every time.
Because he's thinking this guy's probably a Division I scholarship athlete. There's no way he averages 30 yards a punt.
Why don't you just stand there, you know, maybe 15, 20 yards behind the line of scrimmage and wait on it to come? Because that's where it's going.
Y'all help me out with the rules here. Does it say you have to actually use your foot? Could we not just throw the ball farther than that?
Arm punt? You think we could arm punt?
We just need to throw it. I mean, I think that's legal.
Well, Tyler Hall, I did notice this yesterday. You know, there people either execute a traditional punt where they try to get good hang time and distance, or they do, you know, the rugby style that Lou Holtz first brought.
Or they do what Tyler Hall does.
Or they do what Tyler Hall does, which yesterday was something kind of in between. Did you guys notice that? He kind of rolled just a little bit. But then he tried to kick a high, long ball. It was kind of in between.
I try not to watch when he – I mean, it makes me so sick. Yeah. I think we ought to go to the rugby punt. I mean, you might get a hop, and it might bounce, and it might hit somebody, you know? I mean, that's the best thing we got going. I think we need to do the scramble punt, You just kick it straight down the field, and maybe you hit one of their guys in the back, and maybe we'd fall on the ball for a fumble recovery.
Hey, you could make the argument that that's how Virginia Tech lost that game to Clemson yesterday. Well, they had that exact thing happen.
That and a blown fumble call.
Oh, yeah. That was the worst call, but we're getting off topic.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about Rubber Chicken Awards, or as G-Man suggested, we call it after a loss like that, the Fried Chicken Awards. let's see. G-Man, you go first.
Well, I have been praising this guy, and I've given him, I think, two Rubber Chicken Awards. But I'm going into opposite land. This week I'm giving Fried Chicken Awards. There are some guys who deserve some praise who I'm not going to give an award to, but I'll just mention, you mentioned a couple of them, and I think 21 played a great game on defense, that 21. And if I were giving a Rubber Chicken Award, that's who I would give it to. But instead I'm going to give a Fried Chicken Award, and I'm going to give it to number one, because that fumble was the momentum changer. We had sort of recovered from the other fumble, and we were in the game. It was going to be a slugfest. But that fumble was basically the beginning of the end. And I'm going to, you know, say that was the momentum swing that really just killed us. And so I'm going to give the Fried Chicken Award to Ace.
He changes the rules. Or one of you changes the rules on the Rubber Chicken Award just like every week.
Yeah, it's me. I come up with different criteria.
You're going to give it to a concrete column at Williams-Brice Stadium one day, I'm sure.
Hey, a concrete column could punt it farther than throw it against the column. It would bounce 15 yards.
T-Bone, who have you got?
I'm going with Shaq Wilson, just because he changed his number to 54. He talked about why he changed his number to 54, because he said his dream is to play in the NFL. And that's an NFL linebacker number. And, I mean, I love Shaq Wilson, but I don't think he's going to be playing in the NFL. He doesn't have the size. And then he doesn't have the speed if they want to make him a strong safety or something. He's just not going to be playing in the NFL. And I am desperately hoping that he's a graduate assistant and starts working his way up the defensive staff on our club, because – you just see that guy out there moving the linemen around, telling everybody where to stand, and then he goes out and makes a play himself. I love that guy. And I thought he played his heart out yesterday. And you know, I know that he thought, like a lot of us thought, that maybe the SEC championship was going to be this year and he was going to be leading that defense. And you know, I just kind of feeling for the guy, so I'm going to give it to him.
Yeah, you know, he's one of those guys I think could make it in the NFL as a special teams guy, just one of these specialists. Doing what'd you say?
Really? One of our guys is going to play on special teams in the NFL? Really?
They're going to have to do that without any tape.
Well, he doesn't play on special teams for us, does he? I don't. Maybe he does. I don't know. Anyway, and another thing, he should have. He used to wear number 16. He should have kept number 16. He looked a lot faster in number 16 than he does 54.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So I'm going to give my Rubber Chicken Award to our French nose tackle, Byron Giraudot, for his blocked extra point yesterday, which led to Hampton picking the ball up and running it back for 2 points for us. So, That was an awesome – he made a really great play. And that's one play I actually rewound a couple of times, because he looked like he was diving to block the ball, but he never went to the ground. I mean, he blocked it. He was at about a 45-degree angle when he blocked it. And the fact that cat was at a 45-degree angle and didn't go to the ground is impressive enough to get a Rubber Chicken Award from me.
Let me say something. Let me say one thing. I was sitting here thinking about the game, trying to think if there was one moment in the game where we had like an exciting play, like one.
That was it.
That play is probably the only one that was the least bit exciting, other than maybe one of Clowney's moves.
Well, and I'm opening the show with some clips from the SEC Digital Network puts stuff up every week from every SEC game. And if you watch their clips, and it's usually kind of a mix between both teams. They try to put in good plays by both teams. Yeah, and I think there were like three There was that block, and then there was a like a 17-yard completion from Thompson to Buster Anderson, and I think that was it out of about 15 clips. I think that everything else was Florida. So I also said yesterday I felt like, you know, when we left LSU, I felt like those guys beat us, man. They just beat us up and down the field. They deserved a win. You know, I'm proud of our guys for being close at the end of the game and having a chance to win it. I feel the opposite yesterday. I'm like, how did we lose to that team by 33 points?
I agree.
The way we should have. I mean, I'm just gonna say this. I texted T-Bone this during the game, and this is this kind of thing that people go, oh, you know, this is like sounding like Martinez from Nebraska last year.
Yeah.
But I believe that we're as good as Florida, maybe a little bit better than Florida. And if we played them in Columbia, we'd beat them all day long if we don't turn the ball over a bunch of times.
Right.
I don't think they're anywhere near 33 points better than us.
Yeah. No, but I think you're right. You're right.
Yesterday, you know, they deserved to beat us that bad. We played terrible. They played mistake-free, fundamentally sound football. I'm not taking anything away from their win. They beat us. They deserve to beat us. We deserve to lose. But, I mean, it's just disheartening that I think we're a much better match with them than it indicated yesterday. I mean, I think we beat them in Columbia if we play like we play. I mean, think about the road games last year. We go out there and play mistake-free football, grinded out football. And, you know, think about, like, the Tennessee game, the Mississippi State game, those games. That's the kind of game – and the game where we beat Florida last year in Columbia, 17-12, grinded out. That's the kind of game we win, and, you know, we didn't turn – you know, don't turn the ball over. Just hang around. Let your defense play well. You know, and – but we – if you play like we played yesterday, there's no chance of playing – you know, there's no chance of winning that way. There's no – absolutely no way you can win that way. So you have to do what we try to do, which is chunk the rock, which we can't do.
So – and I brought this up last week. All right, we're now 6-2. What are we, 4-2 in conference? Is that right?
That's right.
So the best we can do now is 10-2. There's just no way the crazy stuff that would have to happen for us to win the East will happen. Who is Florida's got Georgia? Is Georgia their last conference game? They've got a really quirky schedule.
Missouri, I think.
Yeah, that might be right, but they've only got two SEC games left. Georgia has Florida, and for the fact that Georgia is even part of the conversation today just makes me ill. And they moved up. I think they're number 11 in the polls now, and we're 17. And I was listening to the Atlanta radio this morning, and they said, "Well, Georgia, you know, back in the national championship hunt." Like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? But you know what? If they beat Florida, I mean, it's kind of the whole Clemson thing too. If you win out and you're 11-1, how can you not be a part of the national championship conversation?
Well, it's a good point too, because Georgia is facing a schedule this year, just by whatever reason, that it's more comparable with an ACC schedule. It is. They play the weakest teams from the other division, and they play in what is probably, I think, pretty strongly we could say now, the weaker part of our conference. So, you know, there's not a lot of stumbling blocks for them, us and Florida, and they'll probably lose to both and beat everybody else.
They do have Auburn, though. I mean, you got to watch out
for
Auburn.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Gosh, talk about a fight. Has any team –
Let me just deviate from the call here for a moment and say I am enjoying every second of watching Trooper Taylor and Gene Chizik suffer on the sidelines right now. It's like Mephistopheles or something. I mean, they made their deal with the devil, and now the devil's collecting, baby.
Yeah, I don't think a team has ever fallen farther and faster than Auburn has this year. It has been fairly enjoyable to watch. So, back to our record. Let's just say, for sake of argument, we win out, and we're 10-2. And I said last week, 10-2 would be a disappointment. And I'm not talking about from when did you say we start? When did we start playing football? 1896 or whatever. And, you know, I'm not talking about history. I'm talking about what the expectations were this year. And maybe it was Cloninger or somebody tweeted today that said now that all of the Gamecocks' goals are down the drain. I think, and that you laugh, but I think the goals coming into the season were A, win the East, B, BCS game / SEC championship game, C, national title. I really, those were probably the only three things on the board. Well, beating Clemson was probably up there. So I think sitting here today, I think you got to be disappointed with how this season is playing out.
I mean, I get your premise, but that's not the way Spurrier does his goals. He does goals. I don't really understand how he does them, but I've heard him talk about it. Well, we'll set our first goal to win more than we lose. Then we'll set our next goal to win 7 games. Then our next goal will be to win 8 games.
You know what a goal needs to be right now?
Beating Tennessee.
Exactly.
Tennessee. We opened as a 14-point favorite over Tennessee.
Why? Can we score 14 points?
I do not know.
We have to beat Tennessee. I mean, we could easily lose to Tennessee. They're not that bad, comparatively speaking. I mean, they you know, Alabama, you know, housed them yesterday. But, I mean, you know, they're not as bad as Kentucky, not as bad as Vanderbilt.
No.
Not as bad as Missouri.
They have been very competitive. They were competitive with Alabama to a certain extent last night. I mean, it was 20-10. You know, a play here and a play there. But to your
point, before we get definitely into the Tennessee game of what would be a success and what would not be a success on the year, I think we can still pick up a loss as long as that loss is not Clemson, and say that was a pretty good year.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was the one last week saying 10-2 would be, I'll take it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I know. I take 10. I'll sign up for 10-2 now.
Yeah, I guess you would. Would you sign up for 9-3 if you knew that the 3 didn't include Clemson?
I'd take it right now.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
No, I'd roll the dice. I think we can. I mean, we're going to be favored in every game from here on out. I think we need to close this thing out with wins and go to the freaking Outback Bowl and play Northwestern or whatever it is that we get.
Hey, if we go to a bowl where we're playing a Big Ten team, that would be awesome because all the good teams in the Big Ten can't go to a bowl this year.
That's right.
Everybody will move up. You're going to have Purdue in the Rose Bowl or whatever, and we'll be playing Iowa State or something.
Well, it's going to be the
conference, but okay.
It's
going to be the same. It's going to be the same trio of bowls we were talking about last year. It's going to be Capital One, Outback, and Cotton as an outside shot. But the way Mississippi State's playing,
Speaking of lines, did you see where I think
somebody's at the door.
At the door. Yeah, I think that Mississippi State is like a 21-point underdog to Alabama right now.
And folks, at this point in the podcast, some editing errors were made by me, Buck, and so we lost some audio. And we're going to pick it back up here, as Lindsey Nelson used to say. We'll move to further action. You didn't really miss a lot. We started our This Week in Dabo segment. T-Bone had brought up the fact that Clemson fans are now saying that Andre Ellington has more yards and less carries than Marcus Lattimore, and we were in the middle of making the point that Andre Ellington gets to play against Duke and Wake Forest. Meanwhile, Marcus Lattimore has to play against Georgia and LSU and teams like that. So, sorry about that. And we're back at it right here. You know, exactly. NC State.
I think that's the big point right there, is that week in and week out, Lattimore's not carrying it against Wake Forest and, you know, Georgia Tech and whatever those defenses are.
Right. Well, apparently there's –
I think you give them credit by calling them defenses, but that's okay.
Yeah, maybe so.
Did Duke wind up beating North Carolina last night?
Duke beat them.
Yeah, they were up. Yeah, Duke is – they're bowl eligible now, I think. Maybe we could
end up playing them in the Chick-fil-A Bowl.
Man, that would be great. And by great, I mean awful.
Right. By great, you mean no way to win, even if you win.
Exactly.
You guys only beat Duke 45-6. Jeez. So what else is happening with Dabo? I watched some of that Virginia Tech game yesterday, and besides Virginia Tech just getting completely hosed on a Sammy Watkins fumble that wasn't called a fumble, how bad is Virginia Tech? And has Frank Beamer got to be on the hot seat by now?
I mean, they're terrible. I mean, and I think Logan Thomas, I think the Heisman, I think he's out of the Heisman running. I'm not sure. He might still
you think?
be. he might still get an invite to New York, but he's going to be at the end of the row, I think. But that guy, I mean, he's terrible, horrible. And some of the play calls I was watching, I mean, you got like 4th and 2, and they give it on it, and they hand it off to their 5'8", 180-pound tailback on a stretch play.
Right. You know,
yeah. What is that?
Yeah. But he's fast. I mean, you know, he's a fast dude. Taj Boyd was apparently, they were talking about how he was having some struggles yesterday, and this is about the time last year when his struggles began. So we'll see.
But every time, it takes about this long in the year for the defense to figure out if you make him move his feet, his brain shuts off.
Yeah.
And this is the time of the year when people start doing that to him. And, you know, that's what they were doing to him yesterday. From the very beginning, they were blitzing that guy, and he gets rattled.
But who do they have left? I mean, they don't really have anybody left who can
beat them. They still got to play NC State. They still got to play Duke, don't they? They play at Wake Forest this weekend.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to lose.
Yeah.
No. So they'll be, what, 11-1 when we come in. Here's another random thought that I had today. Connor won a game on the road for us last year at Mississippi State. And I may be missing something obvious without going to the internet to check. What's a big road game that Connor has won?
You mean when he was the quarterback?
Starting quarterback.
Can I make a little editorial comment before you go any further?
You can.
I really get annoyed, and this isn't directed at you specifically, but,
but you
really
did bring it up.
I get annoyed when the quarterback, they do this, has Tom Brady won any games? Has Peyton Manning won that game? Well, last time I checked, there were about, I don't know, 54 guys on an NFL roster, okay? And like 80 guys on a college roster. The quarterback, you know, the quarterback gets these wins and losses. He's not a baseball pitcher, you know? Anyway. Enough of that.
All right, yeah. Too much credit when they win, too much fault when they win, blah, 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 blah. The point I'm trying to make is after he has looked really bad at, you know, Death Valley 1.0 and in Gainesville, I was trying to think, well, you know, is there a road game where
he played a heck of a game at Tennessee last year.
Right, okay.
And you can't really take away that victory, that one in Tennessee and that one in Mississippi State. Those were two good road performances.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes me feel a little better. Concerned. Right.
Right.
No Marcus Lattimore. All right. Well, good. We will go into Tennessee next week. Who do we have? Is the bye week after that?
Yep.
Then we've got Arkansas, who, as all the studs started playing well. I wanted to come back to Georgia and the way they played last night. I never would have thought that Kentucky could have played within a touchdown of Georgia. And if I'm a Georgia fan, I am raising money to bring in Kirby Smart next year. And people can talk about, well, Rick has won SEC championships. He won the East last year. He's averaging 9 wins a year, 10 wins a year, whatever. Man, those guys underachieve for the amount of talent that they have on the roster and the amount of talent available to them in the state of Georgia.
It's true. What do you want from us? That's the absolute truth.
Yeah.
No question about it.
So,
I mean, they have basically sleepwalked through this year and you know, been able to beat people because they don't really play anybody.
Right. I mean, I've always had this fear of Georgia just becoming Florida or Alabama or, you know, something like that, because there's no reason they shouldn't with the resources that they have.
Think about the talent in the state of Alabama compared to the talent in the state of Georgia.
Right.
You're kidding.
I mean, yeah. It's like 4 times as much talent in the state of Georgia.
Well, and now all of a sudden these recruits that have committed to Georgia are just jumping off the bandwagon. They've lost about 3 recruits in the last couple of weeks, and one of them was the commitment that they didn't take from the defensive lineman out of the Atlanta area whose name is escaping me. But
Kelsey Griffin.
Kelsey Griffin. Another Kelsey, that's right. Anyway, I just, it looks like guys are starting to look elsewhere based on what they're seeing going on in Athens. And, back to Dabo. Did we talk about him flying to, where's he flying to?
Nigeria.
Did we talk about that on last week's podcast?
I'm not sure. Has he done it yet, or have they just announced that he's going to do it over the holidays?
I think that's what he was going to do it after the last game, between the last game and the bowl game.
Yep.
Have you guys ever heard of anybody? I mean, sure, people have flown to Alaska or Hawaii to see recruits or something, but to fly to Nigeria to talk to this guy's mom? Is that not bizarre?
He would do that even if there wasn't a mom out there. They would create a mom in Nigeria just to fly to them, just to get these news articles.
Right.
I mean, Dabo loves this persona he has.
So right. It's just so the fan base can go, guys, did you know that he's going to fly to Africa?
Him and the entire defensive staff.
It's just, isn't that awesome?
Spurrier wouldn't do that.
People that might be on the plane.
Spurrier wouldn't do that. He's not committed. He's probably out playing golf.
They love those stunts, you know. It's frustrating because I feel like our coaching staff, you know, they don't have a stunt in them. You know?
Yeah, right, right. It's just
we beat them 3 straight years, so maybe that's the right way to be. But
glad we're not into stunts. To be honest with you, I don't like the stunts at all.
All right. All right, well, pretty spunky show today. We came on not thinking we'd have a lot to talk about because nobody prepared.
I don't mean this personally in any way, but I hate people that host podcasts and have all these opinions.
Right.
Not directed at you. No.
Right. That's at those half-cocked show guys, right?
Man. Pet peeves I have about this, about people assigning these – quarterbacks, has Peyton Manning ever won that game? I'm like, himself.
There was a point to there was a train of thought that led to that. I'm not.
I understand.
So anyway, all right. Well, good. Good show. After a bad Saturday, and all we can say is go Gamecocks. Take care of the Vols next week. Before we sign off, I'd like to remind all you Gamecock fans: it has now been 1,427. Days since South Carolina lost to Clemson in football. I am Buck for the rubberchickensblog.com. We'll talk at you later.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter. This wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them?
That's just too much. What is wrong? I'm like, well, I tell you what's wrong. You get about the one line, you're going to lose.
Get your ass beat. You fumble on the first play of the game.
That's a bad sign.
Kills your odds of winning.